Eric Dawson's Talking Politics and Breaking Down the Issues. Coming to you live from Essex County, New Jersey, this is All Things Political.
Hey, this is Eric Dawson. This is All Things Political. Today is Tuesday, April 26th. I'm excited. Later on in the show, we're going to have mayoral candidate Kerry Coley on from Orange. That race is May 10th. I attended a debate yesterday, and I'm looking forward to having a discussion with the candidate. But before I do that, I want to just kind of have a conversation again about the mainstream media and the national politics that are taking place, here. We have five races going on throughout the country, and Bernie Sanders, and I've made no bones about the fact that I'm a Bernie Sanders supporter, Bernie Sanders is competing in all five contests. Now, one of the things to point out is that he probably will not lose the majority, will not win the majority of them. However, he has vowed to stay in the race. Part of the issue, and I think that folks who understand the politics of it all get what's going on. But the media has been very, very complicit in helping drive a false narrative. What they did today, I think, was absolutely horrendous. You had the New York Times leak an article that was completely false, an article that said that there was going to be some sort of shakeup in the Bernie Sanders case and after in the campaign, rather, and after the polls closed today, they would reassess. However, you've had not only Bernie's campaign manager, you've had Bernie Sanders himself and his wife Jane today come on and say unequivocally that they are going to stay in the race until the convention. They're going all the way to the convention. So why the mainstream media, meaning MSNBC, Channel 7, the rest of these guys, would even give credence to what the New York Times says if you're getting it from the candidate himself? You're getting it with no minced words from the campaign manager, and you're getting it from his wife, who is his closest confidant. They're saying unequivocally they are not dropping out. But I'll tell you why they're doing it. Why they needed to have something to push through this news cycle to help support Hillary Clinton's cry to get Bernie Sanders out of the race. They needed to have some negative bombshell, if you will, come from the media that they could have circulate through the through this next media cycle. And it's a shame because part of their biggest challenge is Bernie Sanders' fundraising efforts, that he's been able to match them dollar for dollar fundraising. And so he has no reason to get out of the race. That and the fact that there are millions and millions of people who are in support of him. And Bernie Sanders has said very, very clearly that he is going to give every single one of these people who either donated $27.50 to his campaign or who wants to vote for him throughout the country an opportunity to do that. And so that requires him stay in the race. Now, Hillary Clinton has been given this false narrative that she's 2.5 million votes ahead of Bernie Sanders. But what Hillary Clinton's not counting are the caucus votes. She's just not counting those as part of the votes that Bernie Sanders has received. So she really is not 2.5 million votes ahead of him. She's 2.5 million votes ahead of him when you are just counting the closed primaries. But then we'll have a conversation now about the closed primaries. And this is part of the fight that Bernie Sanders is having. The fact that there are closed primaries, and once again, and I did this last week, we'll use New York as an example. If you wanted to vote for Bernie Sanders, you had to have changed your party affiliation back in October. Now, if you understand where Bernie Sanders stood in the polls back in October, Bernie Sanders wasn't on the radar. So, I mean, I just want you all who are listening to the show to understand this. So here's a guy who had no national acclaim, like Hillary Clinton did, being the first lady for 8 years, being the the senator in New York, and then being Secretary of State. So Hillary Clinton had name recognition. Bernie Sanders didn't have that name recognition. So it's conceivable to say that when October came, there were a lot of people in New York who had no idea who Bernie Sanders was. So why would they have switched party affiliations to vote for somebody they didn't know? Or they may have heard a little bit about him. But as the campaign goes along and you start to roll out more of your policies, more of your plan, people start to make decisions and they switch and they decide who they're going to vote for, which is kind of why folks are going and having these town hall meetings, they're having the debates, so they could hopefully switch voters over. But part of the challenge now is when you have in New York a situation where folks could not vote for him when the primary came because they would have had to change their party affiliation back in October. What Bernie Sanders and his campaign is now saying is that he would have the independent voters, and the independent voters would be voting for him. Now that you don't have those independent voters voting for him, Bernie Sanders is losing these primaries, these closed primaries. But what he's saying is that when you get to the general election, those folks would vote for him. So when you count the number of votes that Hillary Clinton has out of the closed primaries where you're shutting out independent voters, he wants to go to the convention. He wants to argue to the superdelegates that a lot of those, if not most of those independent voters, would be siding with him. So that's part of why he wants to go to the convention, and the Clinton campaign knows it. And so their hope is that they could float an article through the New York Times, who has no interest in Bernie Sanders' campaign whatsoever. They're not objective in their reporting of Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. So what they want to do is they want to start to sow the seed of dissension within his campaign that, you know, is discombobulated because mixed messages are coming out. And so people who are donating to his campaign shouldn't waste their money anymore, that they should just move on over to the inevitable candidate, Hillary Clinton. I am so happy, though, that Bernie Sanders is going to stay in the race all the way to the convention. And I believe that, you know, if the Democratic Party wants to win the White House and they want to win up and down the ballot, they're going to look and they're going to see that Bernie Sanders is the candidate who can beat Donald Trump, because Donald Trump is going to be, we ought to say now, the presumptive nominee of the Republican Party. This Stop Trump campaign, and now you have Ted Cruz and John Kasich teaming up to try to stop Donald Trump. I mean, you talk about a party in complete disarray. It would be the GOP, but Donald Trump has tapped in to a very discontented group of people in the country, a lot of people who are just like Bernie Sanders folks. And I'm telling you, we run the risk of having an establishment candidate if the superdelegates ignore the will of the people and they decide to nominate Hillary Clinton, run the risk of greater than 25% of Bernie supporters not supporting Hillary Clinton in the general election. And then not only giving the White House to Donald Trump and the Republican Party, but also losing seats in the House and in the Senate. That's what I see as happening. So I hope that, that folks get a grip. I hope they pay attention to the inner workings of these politics. I did see something also on a county level, that our county executive, Joe D, is putting more than just toe in the water now when it comes to this governor's race. So it should be interesting, and I'll be keeping my eye on it as things progress. You know, I see now that, you know, you have Fulop over in Jersey City. You still have Phil Murphy, who is making his way through town halls, if you will, here in North Jersey, and you have Joe D right now, at least. I don't think that Sweeney's going to be much of a factor at all. But what we're going to do now, we're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to be joined with mayoral candidate Kerry Coley from the great township of Orange, New Jersey. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
Everyone likes data, because when you have more data, you have more freedom. Freedom to do whatever. That's why AT&T is offering you 15 gigabytes for $100 plus $15 for each line. Because the more data you have, the more freedom you can enjoy. Freedom to post more memories, download more fun, and share what matters most with who matters most. 15 gigs of data for $100 plus $15 for each line at AT&T. What more could you want? I sure can't think of anything. AT&T, mobilizing your world.
Come in now and get the all-new LG V10, designed to capture, edit, and share high-quality video.
Pricing is monthly for service on smartphones on AT&T Next. Other pricing options available, overage monthly, and other charges and restrictions apply. See a store for details.
Hey, this is Eric Dawson. Welcome back to All Things Political. Today is Tuesday, April 26th, and we're joined this evening by mayoral candidate Kerry Coley from the great township of Orange, New Jersey. Welcome to the show.
Eric, thanks for having me.
Hey, man. You know, I appreciate you coming on, man. You know, I really feel blessed to be able to sit and, you know, and provide a platform for folks to be able to hear in a more personal setting. I mean, I was at the debate last night, and there, you know, got ruckusy after a while, and people were, you know, trying to hush people down so that they could hear what the answers to the questions were, and in some cases what the questions were. So I'm happy to have a platform where we can just have a very intimate discussion, and folks who are listening can listen without interruption. You know, you know, who you are, and you know, and what you want to offer the township of Orange. So, I want to get right into it, man. So, how long have you been a resident of Orange?
Been in Orange since I was 7 years old, man. We moved to Newark. We've been in Orange ever since. Everything about Kerry Coley's Orange. Elementary school, middle school, high school. Everything about me is Orange.
Okay. And never had an interest in leaving, huh?
No, I never had interest in leaving. I could have left, you know, but, you know, my family is here, my friend is here, my life is happening here and has happened here.
Okay. And I do call you, I say you're a mayoral candidate, but you're also a sergeant on the police department, right?
Retired police sergeant, retired.
Oh, I'm sorry, retired police sergeant. Okay, so
yeah.
When did you retire?
Retired 2 years ago when I got sworn in at city council.
Oh, okay. And I'm sorry for that too. Not only are you a candidate for the seat of mayor in Orange, but you're currently a sitting councilman in Orange. In what ward?
The East Ward.
In the East Ward, and you're a retired sergeant. So I'm sorry for not, you know, listing those people as well. So how long were you an officer in Orange?
21 and a half years I served the Orange Police Department.
1.5 years?
21 and a half.
Or did
21
you say
and a 20, half years.
21 and a half years. Okay. Said one and
yep,
a half years.
Yes.
Okay, 21 and a half years. All right. So is it different from when it was when you started?
The job changed dramatically from the time from when I started and to the time I retired. You know, it just changed dramatically. Times change, people change, the jobs change.
Okay, better, worse. Hello? Yeah, I said for better or for worse, or just change.
I guess it depends on who you ask. You know,
Oh, okay.
I don't have any. Yeah, it depends on who you ask. I just know that it just changed. And I do know this. Every thing that you do has an expiration date. You know, just do your best while you have an opportunity to do it. And when your time is up, you know, try and leave something better than what you found it.
You know, that's interesting. I had former Mayor Gibson on a month or so ago, and he said the exact same thing. He said, you know, was talking to him about his, you know, time that he was in was mayor of Newark, and he said the exact same thing. He used those same words. He said, you know, everything has an expiration date, Eric. You know, he said it was just time. So, okay.
Yep.
So when did you decide to make the transition then from being a you looking and saying, and I guess maybe, you know, you just saying an expiration date was it, but was there some impetus beyond that created the transition from you being a law enforcement officer to you wanting to serve on the municipal council?
You know what? When I look back at things, this is something that I always wanted to do, being an elected official. It's like the highest honor of community service, and it's the most accountable.
Okay. All right. And what do you believe the residents of Orange? So you talk about accountability, and you say, okay, you transition from being a police officer to wanting to serve in a role where you were accountable and were able to make a difference in your ward, and now you're looking at making a difference in the entire city. And why do you believe that that the residents of Orange should essentially give you a promotion and elect you as mayor?
Well, first of all, Eric, I love my city of Orange. I love my town. I have always dedicated my life to improve the quality of life for Orange residents, not through my words, but through my actions. I went to school here. I bought my home here. You know, I served in the military, and I came back and I served on the police department. You know, and I'm still serving. Still serve my community. And then as mayor, you know, it can give me the ability to correct some things that is not going the way that I want them to go, or feel that they should go.
Okay. So let's see. Orange has seen Mayor Hawkins for 4 years, and then after Mayor Hawkins, Mayor Warren, and now your hope is that they see a Mayor Coley. Why such a transition in Orange? Why do you think that over 12 years there should be such a shift in terms of Orange seeing three different mayors? What do you think that's – it seems like there's stability.
I don't think it's stability. I think it's just that the people of Orange have a very low tolerance for elected officials who forget about the needs of the voters who elected them in the first place. Period.
Okay. All right. What are those needs? What do you think the top three or four or I don't know top needs are that are in the community that you feel aren't being addressed?
Well, property taxes is always a top priority, top issue. Crime and the mismanagement of our services and resources.
So, taxes, crime, and mismanagement of resources. Any specific resources?
Yep. I'm sorry, say again, Eric. You're breaking
up. I said any specific. Yeah, I'm sorry. Any specific resources?
Money. When it comes to unnecessary spending, lawsuits, you know, not getting our keeping our water infrastructure in place the way that it, you know, should be kept up, just to name a few.
Okay. All right. And all right, so Kerry Coley gets in the office, you know, folks can expect to see, you know, a plan to lower taxes or to stabilize taxes, to help reduce crime and, you know, and to resolve some of these things that haven't been resolved. That's what I'm hearing from you.
That's what you're hearing, Eric.
All right. So, this is me on a rant for a second, and you could chime in if you want, but this is just my rant. Part of my big rant is that I don't know how, and I have this discussion to, well, I didn't have the pleasure yet of having the mayor of the great city of Newark on. I'm hoping to have him on soon. But I did have the mayor of Irvington on, and he and I were talking about the same kinds of things. And I said, well, how do you go about in a town where, you know, folks are strapped for money and they want the resources and you need the tax dollars for the resources, but you don't want to, you know, they clamor about the raising of the taxes. It seems, you know, kind of, you're in between, you know, I gotta raise these taxes, do this. And so what Mayor Voss said that he did was, which I thought was amazing, man. He said, look, you know, Eric, we have taken to, you know, firstly, you know, creating more revenue through ticketing and all those other kinds of things that give us some money. He said, but then what we've done effectively in order to try to bring some of these houses back on the tax rolls is we have purchased our own equipment. He said, we found it cheaper. I think he said $50,000 per house cheaper to purchase their own equipment to tear down these houses. And he said that they're going to now purchase them, build them, and sell them. So they're going to become a realtor. Is that something that's possible in Orange to help bring some of those things? Because I know when I was listening last night at the debate, they were talking about the idea of bringing some of these abandoned houses back on the tax rolls. So that folks,
you know,
just
I
are
never,
not.
Right. I never thought of it as in detail as Mayor Voss, but if it can work in Irvington, you know, I don't see no reason why we can't duplicate that here in Orange as well.
So
that
so
would be
question.
Something that would definitely, I would like to sit down and get more information from him or his team and see how it's working out. And if something that is, and if something, and if that is something that we could bring to Orange, I'm all for it.
Do you believe that right now, and not just in Orange, but East Orange and Irvington and Newark, is there a collaboration of mayors? Like, I know politically there's a collaboration of mayors, right? So they get together for some political objectives. And in fact, I think a few mayors got together and they started a 501c4, right, to raise money to, you know, win elections and to do those kinds of things. But is there to the best of your knowledge, and as a councilman, is there a sharing of best practices across municipalities, urban municipalities within Essex County and even beyond? But I'm saying just within Essex County, because you got, as a neighbor, you got East Orange, right? You got your butt up against Newark, huh?
You know, to the best of my knowledge and understanding, we don't really have these shared service agreements with other municipalities, but that is something that we can look into. What type of shared service agreements, I don't know, that we can enter into to help save money, but that's something that we can definitely look into. But I do know this, if you look at it from a simplistic point of view, we all buy gas, we all buy office supplies. We all buy vehicles. You know, we all buy, you know, other equipment. There's no reason why we cannot, you know, pull our money together and buy it in bulk and things like that. You know, that's something that I could, you know, be sitting, I mean, be willing to sit down and talk to other towns, you know, how they go about doing what they do. And that's something that we might could share our resources to save money.
Okay. And now, I would imagine you and I would not be sitting here having this discussion with you vying to become mayor if you believed that the current mayor was doing doing the job that was satisfactory to you. So what are the specific things that you believe that he has not done that have caused you to step up and say you want to, you know, now sit in that seat and you know, make a change from?
Well, 4 years in a row, raised property taxes, crime is worse than it's ever been. Numerous lawsuits, one with Willis Edwards, the deputy business administrator, who he fought to keep in an illegal position for nearly 3 years. It cost the taxpayers of Orange over $1 million in legal fees. Tried to switch our water management to a unqualified vendor. These are just a few. I can sit here and just rattle on things, you know, issue after issue, but these are just a few that I just feel that enough is enough.
So how do voters discern? Because even last night at the debate, you know, there were accusations, there were, I'm putting my quote fingers up now, facts that were stated, and then there were challenges to those facts, and then, you know, there were references to Oprah requests and all these things. What is the best way through all of the assertions during a campaign that voters can get to the facts? Yeah, you know, my grandmother always said there's always two sides of the story, and somewhere in the middle you'll find the truth. And I'm not here to say that you're telling the truth or somebody else is telling the truth. I'm just saying, you know, I've done a show and I've had candidate Janice Morrell on, and I've done a show and I've had Mayor Warren on, and now I have you on. And if I go back and listen to all three of those, I get a little bit of a different thing. How do voters then, because they're confused, right? During the election, they're getting mail, they're getting lid dropped, they're getting door hangers, they're getting robocalls, they're getting all this stuff. How do they sift through to find out about, you know, more information about the things that you're talking about?
You know, these things that I'm talking about are in black and white.
Okay.
Black and white. I mean, things I'm talking about, we can't change them for what they are. We can't change them for what they are. Taxes, crime, lawsuit, and no budget being introduced to the council as well. These are things that are in black and white. These are things that there is no gray area. It is what it is.
Okay, and so in terms of taxes, what would you do to fix it that he hasn't done?
To the budget, and do not hire people who is not in your budget. When you hire people who's not in your budget, it causes you to go over your budget. That's first and foremost. And if something is not in your budget, well, it's just not in your budget. Stick to your budget.
Okay. And in terms of crime, because you said crime is another issue, right? So let me ask you this question. Has crime gone up? You know, I mean, there have been, you know, some incidences that have occurred. I don't know. I haven't tracked what crime was last year, the year before last in Orange, you know, shootings, murders, you know, carjackings, whatever other kinds of, I don't even know the extent of the kinds of crimes that go on.
you know, from the data that I was, you know, able to retrieve from the FBI, state police, and locally here, you know, from the Orange Police Department, violent crime has increased 21% here in Orange since Mayor Warren has taken over. 21% increase in violent crime.
And what do we,
and
what
like
do we
said,
lump it? What do we
and,
put
and
into
like
violent
I said,
crime?
These are just numbers. It's not gray area. These are just the numbers that are presented.
So when you say violent crimes, what's included in that?
Violent crimes, robberies, murders, assaults, carjackings, those sort of crimes.
Okay. Okay. So you say overall crime is up.
Overall crime, yeah, overall crime is up, but violent crime is significantly up.
Okay. And so how do you bring it down?
Very simple. You have to hire police. You know, our police department is not fully staffed. We got to work towards a plan to fully staff our police department so we can get the police out here so we have more visibility and more of a presence on the streets.
Okay. And then, so here's my question. Is there money in the budget to hire them?
It was money in the It was money in the budget for since he took office to hire police, but he just failed to hire the police. The money has always been in the budget to hire the police, but he just failed to hire the police for whatever reason. Don't ask me. You got to ask him that.
So he's not offered a reason. Now I don't remember. I got to go back to listen to the notes of the show previously with him, but he didn't offer a reason as to why he wasn't going to hire additional officers. And now I just want to and then maybe this can be corrected for the listeners. There is something that I saw that said that 8 officers were hired and a couple of firefighters had been hired. Is that not true?
It wasn't 8 officers. It was 2 special police officers.
Okay.
And it was 2 officers that was hired from a lateral transfer, and then it was another 2 that was put in the academy. So you have a total of like 4 officers. So 2 that was hired from other agencies, and they just went through maybe a week or two departmental training with the Orange Police Department, and then they hit the streets of Orange. And the other 2, I believe they will be finishing up the police academy sometime soon. And we have 2 special police officers. Special police is not full police. They're special police.
And what is the difference? What do they do that's unlike the
other special
officers?
Police, they do have police powers. They do carry a gun, but they can only work a certain amount of hours. I think they're only allowed to work like 20 hours a week.
Okay.
They are hourly paid employee, and they only work 20 hours a week.
All right. Well, I did have one of my other questions that I wanted to ask you, but we kind of got to it when I went on my rant about the abandoned properties. You know how to get them back on the tax roll. How Mayor Voss is doing it. Do you have any other specific plans about how to get some of these abandoned properties in Orange on the back on the tax roll? I mean, not just back on the tax roll, right? But as a former officer, what do they call it? The broken window theory, right? So
broken
So just getting them fixed up so that, you know, they don't attract the criminal element in those areas. Do you have any specific plans on how to get these abandoned properties back on the tax roll?
Well, one of the things I would like to do is aggressively utilize our code enforcement, you know, to pressure absentee and landlords to maintain and keep up their property. You know, and usually this may lead to, you know, the selling of some properties, and, you know, and we have to, you know, also find a way to encourage landlords, you know, to really fix their properties, you know, so that they aren't, continually staying in the conditions that they're in.
Okay. So now here's one of my back to the broken window theory before we continue, broken window syndrome. I think that along with abandoned properties, one of the other things that that begin to bring neighborhoods down. I talk about this on my show all the time because I remember, growing up in Newark and not, and being looked at sideways as I entered into Irvington or into, certain areas of South Orange or into West Orange, right? And when I got my driver's license, I almost white knuckled it as I drove out of Newark into some of the surrounding areas because you just could not, they wouldn't tolerate any infractions. Now you drive through these areas, whether it's East Orange or Irvington, and I talked to the mayor in Irvington, and, he said that he's cracking down and going to crack down more on them, and I hope to have the mayor of East Orange on very soon. I see double parked cars, man. I see police officers driving by or not paying much attention to, some of the cars that are double parked, or when they pull up to these cars that are holding up traffic and that are illegally parked, they just kind of put their sirens on and ask them to move. I would ask that part of what is instituted is a zero tolerance for that, because they know when they're double parking that they've already committed a crime. And so to ask them to move, they've already committed the crime. And to get them to stop double parking, there has to be punitive damages assessed. So I would like to lobby to say that there should be, in Orange, a zero tolerance for folks who are double parking and doing all those kinds of things, and then you alleviate it. And so if you have to become mayor, I'm going to be in your office asking you to do that, because I think that for the residents who live in these towns, not just Orange, but East Orange, like I said, Irvington and North, law-abiding citizens have to deal with this craziness, man. So that's just, again, occasionally I go on my rants. But I think that it would be helpful in the community. I want to talk about now? I want to talk about business development, because that's the other piece, right? So we talk about taxes, we talk about crime, we talk about abandoned buildings. All of those things are issues if you don't get a hold on them when you're talking about business development. What is your plan? What is your holistic view then when you look at crime, when you look at other things going on in the community and business development? How does that fit in, and what kind of plan do you have for that?
If we don't get our house in order, no business is going to come to Orange. We got to first get our city clean, get our streets paved, get our city safe so people can feel safe in our town before we can really aggressively talk about business development. I love Orange, and I would love to see more businesses come to Orange, but when you look at the land that is available in Orange, it's not a lot of land available for businesses to come. Orange is landlocked. And over the last 10 to 15 years, the open space that we did have for potential businesses to come to Orange, they were also to developers to put up apartment units. So the only type of business that we could attract to Orange is some type of retail chain, fast food chain or some type of other chain, But as far as, like, major business coming to Orange, there is no land in Orange for that because they have all been gobbled up by apartment units.
Okay. So the downtown area, there's no way to improve that?
There's ways to improve it. I feel that the downtown area, it should be more uniform. The awnings, the street lights, the signage on the stores, it should be uniform. It's going to take money. It's going to take time, for businesses to buy in.
So we talk about all of that because it's all, like, all of those things are awesome, right? Like, you need awnings, you need all of these things, and I remember East Orange went through that up on Main Street, right, where they want to have it be more uniform.
Yes.
But folks don't want their taxes to go up. So, you have these ideas, but how do you accomplish them when folks don't want their taxes raised?
We have to try and apply for some grants, see if we can get some type of corporate sponsorship to help us out in improving our business districts.
Okay. Now, I didn't face this until I started renting again. I owned homes for probably 15, 17 years of my life, and then I recently went back to renting. And I'm in Montclair, and parking isn't that big of an issue. I mean, a lot of people have a backyard I can park in. But I know in East Orange, too, but in Orange, parking is an issue. Like, that it surpasses crime in terms of an issue, but it's up there, man. People are, like, violently concerned about, parking and stuff. What is the issue with parking? One, so that I have a clearer understanding of it, and then I'm going to ask you, how do you resolve it under a Kerry administration?
Like you said, parking has been an issue and is going to continue to be an issue. As our population here in town increase, people come in, people have more vehicles. And then a lot of our streets, they border East Orange. And there is no parking overnight in East Orange. So a lot of East Orange residents or their guests, they come park on streets, that borders Orange. What we have to do, in most cases we have permit parking, but in some cases the permit parking has not been aggressively enforced by the police. We just have to aggressively enforce the permit parking to make sure that these people who are not allowed to park there don't park there.
Okay. And so in a nutshell, so that my listeners can hear the contrast, when we talk about crime, we talk about business development, we talk about taxes, we talk about abandoned buildings, we talk parking, and you also mentioned street paving and city resources, so that they understand when they go to the polls, what is the difference in terms of a Warren administration or even what a Morale administration might look like and what folks will get from a Kerry Coley administration.
Kerry Coley will always be accessible, accountable, responsible. I'm always visible. And Eric and I am results-oriented. Simple.
Okay. And so now I got to ask this, right? I just have to. You know, things are contentious up there in Orange, or yeah, over there from where I am in Orange in a campaign. A lot of negative stuff going on. In fact, you know, it made its way to a few blogs. It's all over social media, you know, from mailers to handouts. Some of them have referenced the condition, and you talked about it, you know, here earlier, the condition of the water in terms of the quality and the notion that the administration is attempting to sell it. Do you want to elaborate on any of that?
You know, as far as contentious, it is contentious because when you have people that are, you know, lying on you and doing things to try and have you respond and act out of your character, yeah, that is contentious. You know, but it's also part of politics.
Okay. And so one of the pieces is an assertion that Mayor Warren is a Republican, you know, because he had Chris Christie, Governor Christie, come into Orange. Do you personally believe that he is a Republican?
You know what? He's a Christiecrat for sure. I can tell you that. He endorsed Christie. He brought Christie to Orange, paraded him up and down Main Street like he was a rock star. You know, plain and simple.
Okay, so you say he's a Christiecrat, but do you think he's a Republican is the question?
Could ever be. You know,
okay.
He endorsed Christie. You know, Christie kicked our first African-American judge off the state Supreme Court. Warren still endorsed him. You tell me. Is he a Republican? I don't know. You tell me. I don't know.
Okay. So, well, so in the criticizing him for supporting Chris Christie, and this was a question that was put to you yesterday, are there any circumstances under which we should support a Republican governor? Are there any circumstances?
You know, Eric, I have always supported Democrats, and I will continue to support Democrats. And if someone is honest, open, and willing to help, I'll sit down and I'll listen to you.
Okay. All right. Well, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. Well, you know, I know because, you know, I'm in politics, right? So I know how contentious they could get. At the end of the day, I think that, you know, we all can agree that we want the best for the residents. You know, I certainly know I'm involved in all of this because, you know, our people in particular are anchored to the very bottom of the socioeconomic ladder. And we need folks who are fighting to help us do better, give us
mm-hmm.
opportunities to do better. And that's why I'm in it. And so, you know, I see the negative stuff go. And that's why I asked you earlier, how do residents cut through all of that to get to the essence of what each candidate is truly campaigning about so that they can understand the issues and make informed decisions about who's most qualified to do that. That always becomes, you know, a concern of mine when, you know, when it elevates to some of the levels that I've seen in Orange. But, all right. Well, listen, man, I want to thank you. I don't know if there I think I asked all of the questions that, you know, that the listeners might want to know. If there's anything else that Kerry Coley wants to say about Kerry Coley, you know, I give you, you know, 1 or 2 minutes to do that. And I'm going to sign off to commercial and then continue with the balance of the show.
All Hey, Eric, I just want to, first of all, thank you for the time, and I just want to encourage everyone that's listening that May 10th is a very important election. We will be making history in Orange. This is the first time that we have had a Hispanic person on the ballot for council, and this is the first time that we have had a police sergeant retire from the police department and run for mayor, and this is the first time that we have a full slate of all Orange people who graduated from Orange High School. So we are making history. I'm asking people to come out and vote for Kerry Coley and the Orange home team on May 10th. Thank you very much.
Thank you for spending time with us. I do want to tell everybody, please make sure you come out and vote. To me, who you vote for is, I guess one would say it's important, but it's important that you vote. So get involved, know the issues, and know the candidates. Mr. Coley, Councilman Coley, retired Sergeant Coley, I thank you for joining us on All Things Political. We'll be right back after
thank you,
this
sir.
Commercial break.
If you're doing everything right but find it harder and harder to get by, you're not alone. While our people work longer hours for lower wages, almost all new income goes to the top 1%. My plan? Make Wall Street banks and the ultra-rich pay their fair share of taxes. Provide living wages for working people. Ensure equal pay for women. I'm Bernie Sanders. I approve this message because together we can make a political revolution and create an economy and democracy that works for all and not just the powerful few.
Back to All Things Political. This is Eric Dawson. Today is April 26th. We are I believe it's 2 weeks from today away from the election in Orange. We just finished a discussion with candidate Kerry Coley, who's running to become the next mayor of Orange. There are a couple of things that before we end the show that I really want to, talk about. I mean, I think that it is important that we do understand all of the issues. Now, I would advise all of you guys, or encourage you, I guess is the better word, to go back and listen. I've now had all three candidates on the show, ask them questions, and it is for the voters to go through and discern what is what. There's a lot of negative information out there, mailers, leaflets and such. But I think that Orange is at a really crucial place right now and needs firm leadership that has a clear idea of how to move forward. And, part of my concern always in the African-American community, I get inboxed all the time. Well, Eric, what about white people and what about other people? Well, I'm African American, so I am first and foremost concerned that that my folks are okay. It's kind of like that whole airplane speech where they tell you, make sure you put your air mask on and you take care of yourself before you go to help somebody else. So that's what I'm trying to do, and part of my concern always in the African American community is that we vote out of emotionalism, and we don't vote as a practical electorate with a clear understanding of what it is that we not want, but what we need in order for our communities to be better. You have three candidates here in Orange that are vying to sit as mayor. The question that I implore you to ask yourself is how specifically are you going to fix these things? I had former Mayor Gibson on the show weeks ago, and he said something very interesting. He said, Eric, there's a difference between campaigning and governing. He said, during campaigning, it is political rhetoric. It's hyperbole. A lot of what folks talk about is these pain-point issues, you know, lower taxes, lower crime, increased quality of life, all those things. And all those things need to happen. The question to be asked is, how do you make it happen? And if you go back in your voting history, you will remember that every single candidate that you voted for mayor or for council or for whatever, has told you that they're going to do these things, yet you find yourself in the same position that you're in now, right? And you got to ask yourself why. You know, is it the mayor? Is it the council? You know, there are some towns where council is an obstructionist council and won't allow the mayor to do the things that the mayor needs to do to be able to properly administrate. In some cases, it's an obstructionist mayor who doesn't allow the council to do the things that the council does. So it's, you know, there are a number of things to be considered when you're looking at who to sit in that seat. And I would encourage you all to pay very, very close attention and to what it is. Now, personally, and I did ask Councilman Coley about the Republican issue, because that is the biggest issue for me out of all of the issues. I know that there are a lot of other ones there. You know, there's you know, some concern about Kerry Coley's past track record as a police officer. That information is out there if you dare to ferret it out. There's some information about some other stuff that's out there if you dare to ferret it out. But for me, the biggest question that I have is whether or not, as a elected official, your responsibility is to you and your feelings, or to your constituents and their needs. And when I saw Obama, because I too saw Democrats line up with Chris Christie, and, you know, I looked at it and I shook my head and I said, you know, I can't believe that all of these people are lining up against Buono. They essentially hung her out to dry. And I was in support of Buono during that campaign. But there's a difference in campaigning and governing. And so I was campaigning for Buono. These guys were governing. And much like Chris Christie took it on the chin for hugging Obama when Obama came here after Superstorm Sandy, and Chris Christie took heat for getting in the in the helicopter with Obama. At that point, I believe, and I'm not a Christie supporter, but in that instance, I believe that Chris Christie was governing, and I think that he did what was best for the residents of New Jersey, and making sure that federal dollars would come here to aid us in the wake of the Sandy superstorm. So I would just hope that every elected official would be prepared to work with whomever, irrespective of their party affiliation, if it were in the best interest of the residents. So with that, 2 weeks to go, folks. I'm sure there'll be many more mailers. I'm sure people will be knocking on your doors there in Orange and asking you to vote. Orange, I encourage you, vote wisely. Vote very wisely in this upcoming election. I look forward to seeing you all next week. I will have a few more candidates from the Orange race join me, and some folks who are running for council. So stay tuned next week, 7 to 8. All things political.
You've been listening to Eric Dawson talking politics and breaking down the issues. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. for All Things Political.